On ABC Radio Sydney, I was fascinated to find out recently a friend of mine who works in the arts also has a second job where he goes out into the suburbs of Sydney and removes feral pests with a gun. And we heard very recently about the magpies in the Lane Cove Council area. And I didn't realise how big this industry is. To explain more, we can't actually say his full proper name. We'll call him Michael. He has an urban pest removal business and joins me on the line. Michael, it would amaze people to know that you are one of a couple of businesses which remove species that are either introduced or dangerous from the suburban areas of Sydney.
Yeah, there's not many. There's a couple of us.
What are the animals you tend to target?
So all of our invasive species, pest animals, mainly majority of my work is foxes and rabbits. Occasionally we have to do native animals if they've become too built up in an area, or you know, in an urban environment that's not what used to be here. Sometimes we get too many ducks that will be causing pollution in a pond that will become dangerous to people, or sulfur-crested cockatoos doing damage. They're not native to the Sydney Basin, so sometimes we have to remove those, and they're actually kicking out other native parrot species from an area, so it's an environmental reason as well.
How many animals or shots would you say you fire a year?
My busiest year was 7,000 shots.
Wow.
On average, probably around the 4,000 shots.
And what's the equipment you use?
Majority of my work in the urban environment is a Silence 22 with pretty specialised ammunition that breaks apart on impact or is very quiet. I use silencers, and currently, if it's majority of the time through the night, I use all of the latest and greatest thermal technology, which is pretty incredible, mainly for a safety point of view more than target. It's more for looking for people and warm cars and areas where there might be someone hiding.
And that, I guess, is the key element of your business, is that you've got firearms in an urban area. You have to be absolutely vigilant.
100%. I'll lose my house and everything I own if I put as much as a bullet in a car door. So the biggest aspect for me is safety and protection of property. I don't want to damage anyone's equipment or personal belongings. I make the decision to pull the trigger or not, so it's 100% my choice. I can't blame any situation for turning sour, so it's all on me.
We're calling him Michael. He works as a pest removal person in the suburbs of Sydney. Deer, foxes, rabbits, magpies, cockatoos. There's also a real humane bent to why you do this. Explain that for me.
Yeah, look, I don't believe in poisons, or the poisons that are approved in New South Wales aren't so humane. They can't guarantee off-target species don't eat the poison or secondary deaths from a toxic carcass that's been killed with poison. Firearms is instant. It's safe. It's effective. And I can tell someone, say if I do a golf course or a public area, I can give them real numbers at the end of the night, how many I've removed. And with poisons, you can't do that. It's always guesstimations. And like I said, I can guarantee I have never got an off-target animal in tens of thousands of animals that I've unfortunately had to euthanize. None of them have been left behind. None of them have been wounded to the point where I couldn't finish the job. And none have been left for the public to see. And none of them remain toxic. It's humane, it's instant, and it's safe.
One of the things that brought the most reward to you was out of the bushfires. Explain the role you played there.
Yeah, so in the bushfires, I've got a unique license that's sort of above and beyond the other contractors in the area. I've got a tranquilizer license as well, which they don't give out to people who aren't vets very often. And I had the ability to go and work with a whole heap of international volunteers and local volunteers to find the animals that were burnt in the fires, and then we sedated them through the tranquilizer gun, and then the vets assessed the animals, and we saved a lot of animals. Unfortunately, we had to euthanize just as many. The beauty of the way I do it is when we euthanize the animal, it's instant and the carcass is not toxic, where if a vet has to put it down, the carcass becomes a toxic problem that they have to dispose of by cremation or burying very deep so other animals can't get to eat it. We could do all this quite quickly and on the spot. So I got a lot of reward out of working with the wildlife volunteers. it was really nice to pull the trigger on an animal and watch it get repaired and get up again. That was a buzz I haven't had before. So I really, really enjoyed that. And unfortunately, that work doesn't pay, so I don't get to do much of it.
We're calling him Michael. He works as a pest removal person within the Sydney area. Magpies was why I wanted to chase you down to find out about the work you do. And you've also had your own experience. Tell me who Ron was.
Yeah, my local area. We had a magpie, or he's actually a currawong, called Ron. And the first time I met Ron was I was walking my children home from school, and this bird followed us all the way home with a really unusual call that was quite distinctive and different to the other birds in the area. And when we got home, we went and sat on the balcony, and Ron sat on the railing and he started to talk to us. He had a whole repertoire of phrases he would say, "How you going? What's your name? What are you doing?"
Wow.
And he was a real character, and we thought, well, we won't see Ron much. And anyway, he'd become part of the sort of neighborhood for quite a while. We saw him every afternoon. As soon as my wife's car would pull up, he'd land on the roof rack and have a chat. And yeah, my kids would go outside and Ron would come and land on the trampoline and have a chit chat, and it was quite entertaining. And then I got the call from the authority who lets these licenses out to say that I had the dispatch of a problematic currawong in my area. And when I got the location, I found out that the problematic bird was Ron.
Wow.
So I went to the address where the complaint was made, and Ron was attacking this family. It really put me in a bit of a conundrum and a point of view where it was really difficult to deal with. Long and short of it, I didn't do the job. I don't think I could tell my kids that I got rid of Ron. The bird disappeared within days of the job coming on. So yeah, a bit hypocritical for me to not do the job, but yeah, for on a personal level, I just didn't feel comfortable. So,
but you have seen how ferocious, particularly butcher birds, can be.
Oh, brutal! Yeah, I've seen really horrific damage done to people from butcher birds, especially last year, were a real problem. Right in the middle of the city. So every butcher bird that I did last year, I didn't see that the person had antagonized the bird. One of the clients had a two-year-old child, and the two-year-old child was the target, nobody else.
Wow.
And within two blocks of that job, I did another job where it was a lady in her late 70s, and she was an avid gardener. And in COVID, that's all these people had was their backyards. They couldn't go out there. And this bird was really brutal towards this poor lady. And to that, she put protective clothing on and all sorts of things, and she was still getting injured. I don't know the answer of why they do it. I have no idea. Butcher birds can be extremely ferocious. I've seen on other jobs where the people were to blame why the birds attacked that particular family, to the point where anyone who set foot on their property was a target, and that these birds were brutal. And again, once I found out why the birds were attacking that particular family from the neighbours, none of the neighbours had an issue, or the birds didn't have an issue with the neighbours, but I'm not just heartless. I don't go out there and just shoot everything because it's a dollar. Yeah, these people sort of deserve what they got in a way, but they couldn't live with it, to be honest with you.
People would be surprised where foxes are, particularly when it comes to the CBD of Sydney.
The fox population in Sydney is probably greater than it is in rural areas. Golf courses that I've worked on, I think my record is 8 an hour that I've shot. These are golf courses in Sydney, and people would be surprised. Shopping centre car parks, I've shot them off park benches. I actually shot two side by side that were licking salt off a park bench that someone had been eating fish and chips on, and people don't realise the environmental impact that they have is absolutely astounding, especially when our native fauna struggles in an urban environment as it is. Foxes are like cats. They kill for fun. They don't kill for food. So they really adapt really, really well to hunt in the city. Plus, they just walk from house to house eating leftover dog food and cat food and things like that. So they're doing all right.
We're talking with what we've called Michael, pest animal removalist in the Sydney area. So you can often be in a very busy space with lots of people around, and they would have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, a lot of people listening have probably gone past me on a golf course or and depending on the job, obviously. Majority of my work is not majority anymore, but half of my work's at night when there's no one around. But a lot of the problem animals are out through the day and they're causing a problem for people, so that's where the people are. Those jobs can be quite tricky. A lot of the times I'll have guys in a bit of a circumference of where I'm working, and now we're all got two ways and talking of when I've got a clear space or whatnot. And I concentrate not so much on that animal that I'm targeting, but what's behind it. It's all about safety. There's no no compromise.
It's amazing because I've heard how serious you take the welfare of the animals, the strength of the environment and how these animals can threaten them, and also the passion behind and commitment behind what you do. But at the end of the day, we've had to give you another name, not name your business, because many people don't really understand what you do.
No, look, a lot of the people who are animal people, let's call them, that really love animals understand what I do and they get it. I work for a lot of the voluntary groups. Like I said, when you talk about a really sensitive subject like shooting sulfur-crested cockatoos, a lot of people look at you in a real horrible manner, but I don't choose the target. I get told what to shoot. And then when I talk to the experts who make these decisions, a lot of these cockies aren't from the Sydney Basin. They're from the other side of the Great Divide. But in an area where I've had to shoot these birds, we've had to shoot them because they're pushing out the smaller, you know, parrot, localised parrot species that are only in a real small local area, and they're getting muscled out by the cockies and threatened to really minimise the species. I do get a lot of flack from people, but it doesn't really bother me too much, because the majority of the people throwing that at me aren't really aware or educated about the reality of it all. I don't bring it up. Like I said, I don't use my name. A lot of people who know me don't know what I do, and it's unfortunate that it has to be like that. My kids aren't allowed to tell their teachers what I do for work and all that sort of thing. But it's really cool when I do talk to the experts and I give them information and I write numbers down for them and hand it over, and they use it and as part of university studies and all sorts of things. And I contribute to a lot of that unnamed. It's good. I get a buzz out of it. Yeah.
It's been amazing to find out the hidden side of how we keep our pests under control in Sydney. And thanks for sharing the stories with us.
You're welcome.